This is the BBC.
Hello and welcome to a Tweet of the Week. I'm Michael Morpurgo. Later in this series, I'll be telling you all about the birds I have spotted in my years of living in the countryside. But now, our first story comes from wildlife photographer John McPherson, who has been watching hooded crows working together to obtain food caught by an otter on the Isle of Mull.
I was filming otters on the Isle of Mull a few years ago and noticed a pair of hooded crows that were nesting in a tree near the shore. On several occasions I spotted one of the crows patrolling the shoreline and then dropping, and when I looked closer could see that it had landed near an otter that was feeding. After a while I realised the crows were deliberately looking for otters, as they'd realised there would be scraps of food left over from the otters' hunting and feeding activity. I watched this behaviour over a period of months, and a few times spotted the crow landing in front of an otter that had caught a crab and just staring at it. Then, slowly, the otter backed off and the crow hopped in and took some crab scraps and hopped backwards, leaving the otter to move in again and continue feeding. I was really intrigued by this strange, almost cooperative behaviour. But then one day I spotted both crows flying along the shore and suddenly dropping. One crow landed first, behind the otter, and slowly hopped forwards, then stopped, quite still. The second crow then flew down in front of the unsuspecting otter, and it too landed. As soon as it hit the ground, the crow behind hopped up to the otter's tail and pecked it as hard as it could. As the otter whirled round, the second crow jumped in and grabbed the whole crab. The crows flew off and shared the crab. The otter, looking about for a moment, then returned to the sea to try and find something else for dinner. Crows, they're very, very smart birds, and they seem to really enjoy fresh crab.
One of my friends told me that when he gets back from work and he's had a bad day, he listens to Nightingale Song to de-stress. I was keen to experience these rejuvenating qualities for myself, so I made a few inquiries and found out that I could hear nightingales sing quite close to my house. I visited this site one day after a stressful day at work, and I found a picnic bench next to a large area of dense scrub. The nightingale is a drab, plain bird, with a song like no other, rapid and rushing, sublime and bubbly, powerful and true. Lucinia megarincha, the nightingale, seldom seen, often heard from impenetrable, dense thickets. I shut my eyes and allowed the song to flow over me. A warm, protective blanket, muffling my anxieties.
When I was younger, my family used to go on holiday from Fort William to Lochinver, where we stayed in a caravan just behind and above the main street. Coastal towns by their very nature attract seagulls, vast numbers of which patrolled the town, looking for food. As children, we delighted in tossing out crusts to see the gulls swoop and grab, delighted that they could even catch food in mid-air without any effort whatsoever. My mum was not pleased, though. Mum fretted that our luring in the seagulls would, heaven forbid, caused one of them to drop some poo on the laundry she always had out on the washing line. "Stop feeding those gulls," she would admonish us, so we had to stop. But unfortunately, gulls are not stupid. They know that where there was once food, there might be again another day, so their patrols continued, and one of us stepping out of the caravan was often enough to bring a few of the bolder gulls down immediately. One day, sun shining, Mum walked across to check the laundry on the line, when suddenly Mum squealed. We looked round to see the remnants of a large seagull poo running down my mum's back. The rest of it, the shrapnel, so to speak, splattered across the side of Mum's cheek and hair. You need to get some toilet roll right now, Donnie, she squealed. Dad looked at me, then my brother, smiled and winked, then turned to Mum and replied earnestly, Not worth it, my dear. The seagull will be miles away by now. We'll never catch it.
It was only a few months ago in February half term. We were just lounging around at home, me and my family, hoping that some rare bird would turn up in the UK so that we could go see it, when we got a text from a friend saying that a white-tailed eagle had shown up at Chew Valley Lake. And Chew Valley Lake is what birders call our local patch. It's about 5 minutes away and we go birding there all the time and it's brilliant. Because we live on a hill, we all looked out the window with our binoculars thinking that maybe we would be able to see a big eagle circling over the lake or something. But what was even more amazing is when we ran outside to have a look, we could see it even closer than that, and it was flying around with buzzards and things like that so that you could see really how big this bird was. The reason that it was even there in the first place, we think, is because it might have been a juvenile bird, and sometimes if they get a bit lost, they can end up really off the beaten path. But that was that one moment where we could see it literally sticking our heads out the window that's really always going to stick in my mind, I think.
Photography has helped matter risks, obviously. I've got to concentrate on doing something, keeping a steady hand for my photos and concentrating on not disturbing the wildlife that's around me. Maybe start going out with my dad for a bit of a bonding type thing, and then I started seeing the wildlife around Sheffield, and then I kind of got hooked. Short-eared owls, they were special to me because I was kind of looking for them for about a year or so. My dad was once driving the car around country like road, and I shouted owl. My dad stopped the car and we got out, went and sat in this field, and there was about five flying around us at the same time. Massive birds, beautiful colours. I love the way it looks at me because obviously the eyes are like beautiful and the head just great looking. We must have been there for about 45 minutes or so. Just us, no more cars were at the side of the road, so it's just us laying in this one field and a few runners maybe gone past and not realised. Yeah, just us, so that's why it was so nice.
Thank you for listening to Tweet of the Week, made by the BBC in Bristol. You just heard John McPherson on the Hooded Crow and the Herring Gull, Joe Harkness on the Nightingale, schoolgirl Maya Rose Craig on the Sea Eagle, and Josh Myers on the Short-Eared Owl. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss my stories later in the year.
This is the BBC.